Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences. Itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll hear about the new Wisconsin novel that could help the world fall in love with small-town Wisconsin.
First, we heard this week about wage theft protests happening in Milwaukee and across the United States. Organizers of the protests are targeting McDonald's, saying wages are being stolen from workers through corporate actions, such as requiring employees to punch out for paid breaks and docking paychecks for the cost of uniforms.
The protests are the latest action in a campaign to call attention to the rights of low-wage workers and to raise the minimum wage for fast food workers to $15 an hour.
Joining us now to talk about some of the legal issues surrounding the protests and the growing campaign against fast food companies is Mitch, Assistant Clinical Professor of Law at UW-Madison and the Director of the Neighborhood Law Clinic. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with our terminology here. What is wage theft?
Right. Wage theft isn't when someone goes to pick a paycheck out of someone's pocket. That's not wage theft. What wage theft is when employers fail to pay employees for the wages that they've earned. And that's done by, for instance, a couple of things you mentioned, but also, say, requiring workers to show up at 8 o'clock maybe in the morning and then not punch in until 9 or 10 if it's very slow, or requiring them to punch out and just sit there and wait and not be paid for time when it is, again, slow and there isn't business coming in. It wouldn't be wage theft if they were allowed to leave, but requiring them to be there, requiring them to come in, those are types of instances of wage theft.
Now, there's been a handful of these lawsuits so far. What exactly are these cases going after? What's the goal?
Well, right. I mean, the unique thing is that they're targeting McDonald's as a corporate entity in addition to the individual franchise owners. A lot of people just see McDonald's. They're a great, a large brand, and people think that they're all the same. But in truth, they're actually owned by a lot of different individuals who own small franchises of 1 to 10, 15 stores. And the lawsuits have targeted those individual franchise owners, but they're also going after McDonald's as a corporate entity, so say nationwide and internationally as well, alleging that the practices aren't just one sort of malevolent or bad person at a franchise, but it's actually sort of coming down based on the corporate policies that McDonald's has instilled. So that's what's kind of unique here, is that they're seeking to change not just one particular location's practices, but their location, the practices throughout the nation at all of the McDonald's, because McDonald's does quite a bit as far as controlling the practices and procedures that the franchises have to abide by.
So is the idea, do you think, that they're going after McDonald's because they're such a big presence in the industry, and if they get some traction here, they'll move on to other franchise chains?
Well, McDonald's, again, is such a large company. I mean, it's the number one largest fast food restaurant that I'm aware of in the nation. And if it changes its policies, that will change the market in and of itself. So I think it's a strategic move by the protest organizers and also by the folks filing those lawsuits in the several states to encourage change by going after someone that has the ability to, in fact, sway and dictate basically what the market should be.
Obviously, that makes a lot of sense. But McDonald's being the presence that it is, it's also got a lot of resources behind it. Would it be a better strategy to go after the low-hanging fruit, something that might be easier to accomplish lower down the chain there?
Right. Well, and certainly there are attorneys throughout the nation who file claims on behalf of individual clients where there's individual instances of workers not being paid. And the law school is involved in that through my clinical program when folks here aren't paid. It's a very serious problem. The Department of Labor estimates that there's more money stolen from employers than there is stolen from banks and in robberies just in general. It's over $185 million a year stolen from employees based on just underpayment and non-payment of wages that they've earned. So it's a big deal that's going on here, and that's why it's important that the larger entity that has the ability to sort of set the norms for behavior in an industry gets involved. McDonald's just recently actually filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission their quarterly statement indicating that they're actually taking this seriously. The protest has been indicated as a considerable threat to their business practices and their future and their ability to return profit to their shareholders. So it is, in fact, in everyone's interest to make sure that workers are getting paid so that they can, and then again, obviously go spend that money at businesses. So it's an important cyclical thing to have happen.
Now, you said that these protests are targeting McDonald's at the corporate level, but they're also targeting some individual franchise owners. What's the response from the franchise owners? Are these kind of the little guys? Where do they fit into the picture?
Well, the franchise owners, you know, you don't just decide that you want to open up a McDonald's and go ahead and do it. It takes quite a bit of an investment and a lot of training to do it. So the franchise owners are considerably sized themselves. You know, it's not just a mom and pop shop like it started in Oak Brook, Illinois anymore. So the franchise owners are pretty big fish themselves. At this point, I haven't seen what the response to the lawsuits are, but I think that everyone is taking it seriously. I know that the Attorney General in New York City just settled with one franchise owner there that runs quite a few stores in Manhattan for $500,000, basically an acknowledgement that they were, in fact, underpaying workers and not compensating them for their time. And that's just in Manhattan alone.
Will that be seen as a precedent as we look at these nationwide protests going on?
It may very well be. I mean, it certainly is an acknowledgement that this isn't just, you know, lawsuits that people are filing, you know, hoping to find, you know, some type of behavior through discovery, but that there actually is, you know, evidence that behaviors like this, unfortunate underpayment of wages is in fact happening. So I think it adds fuel to the fire. The protests add fuel to sort of, again, the normative what's acceptable in the public perception. And so that's an important aspect that we have both protests going on and the lawsuit part of the picture as well.
And we've also seen related strikes, again, in the fast food industry in recent months, workers trying to call attention to wages. Is this part of a growing movement that we're just going to keep seeing come back again and again?
Well, you know, again, McDonald's, you know, and their various franchises employ tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of workers. And they have an opportunity here to really seize the perception that they're being challenged publicly and in courts of law throughout the nation. They have the ability, you know, to raise the cost of a Big Mac and to pay their workers more, and to you know, make McDonald's not just the place that you go for great fries, but the place that you go because, you know, they treat their workers right. They could really sort of, you know, seize this and try to make it into an advantage. They have amazing efficiencies that they've developed in their practices and procedures. So if they dictate this to their franchise owners, they really could, in fact, change the you know, change the tenor of labor and become sort of an ideal as opposed to the target of a lot of protests. And yeah, $15 an hour is what the strikers are looking for. Right now at $7.25 an hour, a full-time worker makes just over $14,000, which means that essentially we're all paying for them, because that means that they're most likely to be receiving quite a bit of federal aid.
So I suppose McDonald's hasn't exactly been, not running is not the right word, but publicizing their business based on social responsibility. They base it on cheap, affordable food, and times have been tough economy-wide for lots of people, including business owners. Is this something that's going to come into play, saying, you know, we're doing the best we can and we're struggling too, just like the people who work for us?
Right, right. No, it's fascinating, but again, it's one of those things where they really have the economies of scale there. You can go in and get, you know, get a meal at McDonald's quite cheaper than you can make it. You know, I know we can talk about quality and sourcing, but they have the ability to dictate, you know, the farming practices and the quality of agriculture industry and the quality of animal husbandry industries, as well as the quality of their labor market. So it is something something that they could seize on to be more socially responsible as opposed to just a place to go to get a cheap burger and fries.
Where do you see these protests going next? What's happening? What's going to be the next move?
You know, I think it's going to continue. It has caught in some steam, and it seems to be continuing with the recent lawsuits that were just filed this week, with the settlement that just came out this week, with them and McDonald's acknowledging in their corporate filings that this is a legitimate concern. I'm hoping that they will, in fact, work together towards, creating a better labor market for their employees, because that really truly is better for everyone, the corporation, the stockholders, and obviously the employees if they're getting paid for the work that they do. And that's just simply what they deserve.
Mitch, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Mitch, an associate clinical professor at UW-Madison and director of the Neighborhood Law Clinic. Been talking with him about the fast food wage theft protests, which have taken place across the country this week.